You are listening to the audio production of Without Flesh, Why the Church is Dying Even Though Jesus is Still Alive, by Jonathan M. Fisk, published by Concordia Publishing House. This book is read by Adam Verner. Prologue. In 1939, the Nazis were marching through the streets on their way to liberate France. Since 1935, people of Hebraic descent had been ghettoed, but the true Holocaust was not yet begun. Even so, the Christian chance to respond was already far past. The 1934 Barman Declaration, signed by many Christian pastors as a rejection of the Nazi control of the churches, had done nothing to slow infiltration of Nazi ideology and power in both congregations and culture. Now the pulpits were preached in by double agents. Now the gospel was outlawed as an offense to Aryan morality. Now Dr. Hermann Sasse, ever the stalwart and brave confessor, first among his colleagues to speak out against the fascist propagandas when they originally appeared, decided to write an open letter to the world about the grave situation they faced. His topic of choice? The Lord's Supper. With Christianity in shambles, with the buildings entirely lost to the activities of an alien and hostile power, with the bad people in control and the good people too terrified to speak, Sasse, with pristine, cosmic insight, like the prophets of old, ignored the frills and distractions of immediacy and took an axe to the root. To understand why is, in part, the purpose of this book. For while it may seem on the surface that we live in times a million ideas removed from the depths of Nazi Germany, appearances can be deceiving. Humanity has not changed. Our doubtfulness has not changed. Our tendency toward hysteria has not changed. But Sasse's reasoning will have to work its own magic. To see with his precision, you will need to make room for his arguments. To perceive where present and past combine, you will need to sit for a while with the eternal. This begins not at the Lord's Supper itself, but at its root, at the church's root, at Christianity's root, with Jesus Christ himself. Introduction. The crisis of crosslessness. What is wrong with our church? What is wrong with each one of us and our faith if such disintegration of our church was possible? Hermann Sasse. Quid incertitudine in serius? What is more wretched than uncertainty? Martin Luther. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Anonymous. Don't change. Upheaval is all around us. A messy, dark age of misinformation, distraction, and willfulness dominates us. Civilization trembles, besieged by gusts and surges. Impregnable institutions are collapsing, while by wit, will, and luck, power brokers ride the waves at a mad pace. In the midst of all this, for anything still trying to call itself a church, it is a terrifying time to be in business, much less to actively sail against the tide. But is any of it truly new? Or do we merely believe it to be so? To be sure, compared with memories of those greener pastures of only a few decades ago, pews are emptier, congregation budgets are dwindled, and church doors are closing. There's no question about that. It all looks authentically bleak. Yet what we must consider is what precisely the bleakness means. Have the times really changed? Is the church actually dying? Are we truly in danger of being subsumed beneath a new, ominous culture of evil? Or is the only real difference a matter of our perspective? Is the only real change the fact that we have convinced ourselves that times have changed? Change is often spoken of as if it is its own kind of religion. Some fear it and avoid it at all costs. Others trust it implicitly, regardless of the results. Whichever side of the coin you are on, both parties are too quick to grant change near godlike powers. If Christianity is a holy spirituality, bounded to outlast even the end of the world, aren't we overreacting a bit? Twitter gets invented, and boom! The almighty
Sample complete. Ready to continue?